cams as the microphone, which is not good. This is the right microphone right here, though. Now let's see this. Nope, there's nothing here. It looks like this has done the same thing. It's a good thing I still have 2 minutes.
What if they didn't pay for that
backline? We already paid. We can't walk out.
That's right.
Russ won't give our money back.
Captive audience.
And what if they let that go?
John, another thing you might do is see what plan you're on.
There we go.
Well, I'm on the basic. You know, I took the high level. It wasn't named better.
Oh, really?
Months. I took about 3 months.
Huh. Okay. So after a little mishap with microphones, I think we're ready to go. What's the streamer look like? It's recording and it's hearing us just fine.
At night, it goes down to the
north. Quick look.
Everybody's using it.
Cameras are all working the way they're supposed to.
I mean, it has.
We're ready to go. Anyway, it looks like we have awesome internet at the moment. You know, I finally got reliable internet out in the Ranchitos, but they never did get me above 10 megabits a second. So I want my 40 pesos back. This is a smaller... It's amazing how big our group has gotten that this would be a smaller meeting. We have two tables full of people. And this is a smaller meeting than we've been having.
Are you starting?
Yes, I'm starting. Are you guys ready for that?
Well, yes. Before you do, I want to make three, four announcements.
We are online and we do have internet and it seems to be working great. Okay. Look for Tequila's Bar and the password is Tequila's.
Is it working?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not restaurants.
Yeah. No. It was turned off. It had been turned off when you guys first arrived, and we just had to turn it on.
Okay, first of all, I need to borrow a projector, actually a person with a projector, for one day. But let me tell you, and that's all I can tell you, because I don't know anything about them. But what I want to do, I'm sure some of you are familiar with the app Duolingo. You can study Spanish or French or whatever you want. Can that be projected from my laptop to a wall?
Sure, with a cable. What you do is you'd add a projector as another display device to your computer, and the easiest way is through like an HDMI connector.
Do you have that?
I've got a very poor projector. I mean, I would loan it to you, but I don't think it's going to work for your needs because it's one where you'd have to kill all the lights. You'd have to be in almost a movie presentation to see it. It's got low, very low lumens, and that's what I was telling you about. Yeah.
So if anybody has a projector, and don't trust me with it, you know I'm new. I just need somebody to come in maybe 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I want to introduce this program to the police. And we'll do it in the commissariat office.
Why don't you make find a room that has no windows, and the projector I have would work.
I can't take them away from the office.
Right, but they may have a room in there with no windows.
With a lockup.
About getting names.
Yeah.
We could probably...
Because that's the only problem with my projector. It's a $90 projector. It has like 20 lumens. It's good for my kids to watch videos in their bedroom.
Well, maybe they could do it in the lobby of their own office if we block off those two windows.
Well, Maggie...
And the time of day matters, too.
Yeah.
How many people?
It just depends on how many are out on the street.
Why can't you just use a television?
Television's probably the best idea.
Just hook up your laptop to the TV.
Do they have a widescreen TV there?
I've got a little 24-inch I could take.
That would do. I mean, they could see it on there.
Okay, who's going to show me how to do that?
That's an
HDMI cable, just like Gary just said. You should be able to plug that right in.
HDMI 1 if there's nothing else plugged in, and then when you get your laptop going, you can look for HDMI 1.
That's it.
The TV probably has a remote.
It does, and I just need the regular TV remote.
Maggie, to practice, you could take your laptop and unplug your Roku and plug it into your laptop at home.
I'll do that today.
Yeah, because it shouldn't take much more than that.
Okay, I'll I'll try that today. Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
Okay. And let me just introduce us.
I had three.
You had three?
Yes.
Can I say this is the San Carlos Computer Club? And coming up next, our announcements from one of our members.
You just did. No, you can't.
I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish. And we're here to solve your tech issues as they become apparent, living retired in Mexico. And Maggie has some other announcements that she wants to make. So go ahead, Maggie. I've done my intro.
A couple of weeks ago, I think it was Jan Beatty asked about how to stop the telemarketing calls on her Mexican cell. Was it a Mexican cell she was getting them on? At any rate, I said I did it, but I didn't remember how. The way I did it, I saw it on the Viva board. And it was a phone number that I dialed, and the call stopped. I'll be darned if I can find it now. So if anybody knows how to search that board and find
that
phone
number. What were you searching for?
Find what?
And I have AT&T, so I don't know if it was particular to AT&T. But I was getting telemarketing phone calls 5-6 times a day, and I get none now.
And it was on
the Viva board. Somebody posted it on.
Yeah, to get rid of all your spam calls, basically.
Well, see what I did. If I didn't recognize the number, I just didn't answer. But that gets annoying too. Now it doesn't happen at all. I'm sorry, I couldn't find it. I would love to have shared that with you. You can find how to do it with
a Mexican block call list
through Google. Can't hear her. I did a Google search here this morning, and there's a way to block it with Telmex and Telcel, but I couldn't find anything for AT&T.
They have their own.
So if somebody can find it on the Viva board, they could share it next week. The next thing is, I think most of you know, there's a meeting from 10:30 to 11:30 today, the San Carlos Foundation. If you don't know what they are, or you...
We're trying to hear her announcements.
If you don't know who they are or what they're doing, this is a good opportunity to go and ask questions. I know about as much as you do about them, what I've read online, so...
It is right after this meeting.
Right, it starts at 10:30.
And where is it?
JJ's.
At JJ's.
And the last thing is, I am soliciting donations to buy 4 first aid kits for our police officers. They just completed 2.5-hour course certification in first response, and they don't have a Band-Aid in their car. And Guaymas, of course, won't buy them one. So I found some online. They're approximately $25, $30 each. I want to buy 4, one for each vehicle and one for the office. The kit I'm looking at has enough equipment in it to help 10 people, according to what I've read. So we'd have an extra backup in the office. If anybody wants to make a donation, it would be greatly appreciated. Once they're ordered, I will come in here with the receipt to show you that the money was indeed spent the way I said it would be.
Is your goal with that to standardize on a first aid kit, or can people bring you first aid kits?
If you have a first aid kit that is more than just a needle and thread and a Band-Aid, and you want to donate it, I would appreciate it.
That's all you need around here.
Well, let's stay with the
so with all of us.
I'm from Alaska. We carry duct tape and gauze.
I found to stay with the vehicle or to stay within San Carlos?
They'll stay with the San Carlos vehicle. Yes. They will have property of Maggie Snell on the back of them. Okay, I just donated office chairs to them, and I wrote my name on the bottom of every one of those. That's how much I trust Guaymas. So if you have a kit and you want to donate it, that would be fabulous. But it's got to be, it doesn't need to be as complex as a Riscotti kit. But if they need to staunch bleeding while they're waiting for Riscotti or something like that, they need to have that, and they will be extremely appreciative. The last thing is, that's it. I've already got 3 people donating. And thank you Chester. From the bottom of my heart.
Here's Chester.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Chester. Wow.
Thank you, Chester.
Thank you, Chester.
Kids, dude.
So back to your thing about blocking calls. AT&T has their own.
I just don't remember when I Googled.
They have
it.
Their own block.
They've
it's
mine.
An app.
Did you find? Oh, this isn't even an app. This was a phone call I made. I dialed the number, punched in one. You know what? I might try the one that comes up for Telmex, or Telcel, rather. Maybe it'll work. Let me see if I saved it. I'll have to look it up again. I just Googled block Mexican calls, and then I scrolled till I found the one that said how to stop unwanted phone calls with Telmex or Telcel.
Well, I got rid of that Uno or whatever that crazy one was that we were all getting.
Uno?
It was started with
the
U, didn't it?
Yeah,
Boo-boo.
I think it is.
Boo-boo.
I haven't gotten that. I've got a huge blocked call list, a history of calls that I'm receiving that I have blocked those phone numbers using the software on my phone. And when I go through that list out of curiosity, it's all Telcel just trying to up my service for something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get Telcel, and I don't even have their service. That doesn't bother me because they're text messages. But an actual phone call is...
Well, it's actual phone calls and text messages.
That's annoying. Yeah, that's very annoying. I don't know if you can block them if you have their service.
Yeah, I didn't know that there's actually a block call, and the block call list in the United States has become a joke. I was surprised. This meeting is the first time I've heard of Mexico having one that would be similar. I've always just used the software in my phone to block whatever calls.
How to block junk calls on Telcel phone.
That sounds like a great Google search.
The one in the U.S. is a federal government run operation.
That tells you right there. Well, it's not going
to
work.
Something about the way they stipulated it originally allowed it to expire. And I don't remember the details, but it seems something like you have to keep re-opting into it, that the teeth were taken away from it when they redid the FCC rules. And so the list still exists, but there's no punishment. I'm pulling this out of my ass. I'm sorry, because I don't remember the details, but I remember reading about it going, well, that doesn't sound like it's going to be very effective anymore.
Can you fumigate it?
So it's interesting that Mexico's got one.
I'm not finding it. I'll have to keep looking.
That's your assignment this week.
Yes.
Well, it's like false teeth. You have to keep putting them in and out.
Yeah, you know, like the Experian, the opting out of the credit agencies, that is all like a 90-day thing where you have to constantly be opting out of being part of that.
You can opt out of the credit bureau?
Yeah, you can. Oh, yes. You can opt out of it, but you have to maintain that status where you're automatically opted back into it. Which seems a little unreasonable since they're the ones that lost everybody's information to hackers.
Is that like cookies?
Yeah.
Is that like cookies?
No. Not like cookies.
Not like cookies. Because when you opt out of cookies, then you don't get nothing.
That's true. Well, as usual, I've brought some topics, but I would be very interested in hearing from people that have questions or topics they'd like to bring up. Did anybody come in with anything they're trying to resolve or fix? I'm sorry, sir, what's your name?
John.
John was talking about a problem with buffering.
Buffering.
Buffering videos.
Oh, buffering.
And it sounds like you're using Scott's TV system.
Yeah.
And so at the beginning of the hour, we were talking a bit about what that could be. And it'd probably be good to know, there are some other people here using, say, Gary, you still use Scott's thing? Yeah? And is it working pretty well for you?
It's been crappy this past week or more.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting, a lot of buffering.
Yeah. I checked it one day and it was a half a
half a megabyte?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the top speed. Yeah.
That's like going back in time 10 years.
Where do you live at?
Tacoma.
Well, see, I live up there. And normally, it's great up there. It's been like half meg.
It's not scotching and out.
Tacoma, I lost the phone.
Your TV was off yesterday at Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Last week.
Lost phone and.
Have you heard of the blog Troy Point?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. They just set something on that.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it and it went right over my head.
I'll forward it to you guys.
Sure. This is the Troy Point is that streaming site that you guys turned me on to. I've read a bit on it.
Wireless hacks.
And they're talking about buffering and how sometimes when you check your internet speed, you're not really getting
but it's the local
reading, and there could be other issues with your device itself. And
well, you know, one thing that I found very helpful, I think I got it off of Troy Point, that I'd never considered, is put a speed checker on the device that you're having problems with. So, like, if your device is an Android device, you can download a speed check app, and you can run that right from the device. You might find that from your laptop you're getting a great speed check, and from the device you're trying to use you're getting a lousy speed check. You might discover that the problem you're having is right there in your own home network.
Yeah, I tried both, and it was the same.
It was
the same.
Wait,
you can
but
by the behavior, you can tell whether this. You're getting anything or not.
You got the phone company, and they guarantee, what, 10 megs or something? Or
it depends on your plan.
Yeah.
But, but their 10 meg plan is 5 to 10.
You've got 0 to 10 guarantees.
So, you'll have water in an hour. Okay.
Well, yeah, we all have our anecdotal experiences, but the way it's contracted with them is there's a 10 meg plan and a 20 meg plan, and the 10 meg should be a guaranteed five up to 10.
Up to 10.
The 20 meg plan, the last time I talked to him about it, said you should be getting 15 to 20. But before that, I always understood it to be 10 to 20. Like a guaranteed 10 with the potential of doubling up to 20. And they've used some kind of technology to create this doubling.
The only question I have, this thing you said guaranteed.
Yes. So what that means, when I use the word guaranteed.
I know what it means when you use it.
No, you don't. What that means in terms of your internet provider is that they need to come out and fix your connection if it doesn't reach that point. So when you get the 10 megabit contract, you're guaranteed 5 megabytes. If you're getting less than 5 megabytes, they're concerned about it. They'll come out and they'll try and fix that connection. If you get over 5 megabytes on the 10 megabyte contract, they've done their job. And the rest is just the luck of the draw.
Is that a Mexican guarantee?
That's Telmex. But Megacable acts the same way. Then you get stuck in this minutia. We've only got one technician in San Carlos right now. Right? So they may guarantee 5 megabytes, but they don't have the time to get to you because they're fixing everybody that's not getting any internet. Because there's only one guy. And you have to report these problems or it's never going to get fixed. And you have to stay on top of the problems or it's never going to be fixed. I'm 3 or 4 calls into it last month before finally I've got a stable internet connection. Still can't get 20. I mean, they really screwed me up because they said I could get 15 to 20. It's only 40 pesos more. That's like $2.
Yeah,
like, all right, turn it on. Yeah. But I'm still only getting 10. But when they first turned it on, I was getting 2 to 10. And I could barely use internet for anything. We forget that so many of the activities that we do now rely on a stable connection. That like you start up something on Netflix and Netflix thinks that you can do 4K video and then all of a sudden you're connection dwindles down to 1 megabit a second and you're sat there buffering waiting for stuff to happen. These applications aren't ready to work at 2 and then at 10 and then at 2 and then at 10. So your user experience falls apart.
Is there a difference between the way Netflix sends you their signal and the way everybody else does? Because there's lots of times when things don't work in terms of live TV, but I can go to Netflix and it'll
So I think there's a lot to be said for legitimate services and questionable services, like the streaming system for TV you're using could fall in the ballpark of questionable services, whereas Netflix has deals with internet providers to stock their equipment as close to their customers as they can. And so if there isn't a data center in Guaymas that has a Netflix box, then there's definitely one in the next major, like in Hermosillo. Because there's enough Netflix customers in Hermosillo, we don't want those people to be suffering from buffering. Whereas those of us that are using those of us that are using things like Kodi or this TV service, you're really at the mercy of wherever that stuff has been put out there. There is no guarantee it's going to be right next to you. Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Get the 800 number from the local office here and ask for an English-speaking tech. And I have found that even though you ordered the high-output package, it never gets added to your account unless you talk to them directly.
I mean, okay.
If you go down to the local place and say, I want the next grade up, they'll say, okay, fine. They'll tack it on your bill, but they won't tell the guy to flip the switch.
I have to say that's definitely a problem. The technician I was talking to when he was working on my stuff said that is a problem. But he was all over it for 3 weeks. And he's like, they just haven't done whatever they need to do on their end. I think in the end it turns out to be a new piece of equipment that they need to be able to guarantee that much bandwidth in our area.
You know, it doesn't depend on where you are. For example, I asked for the 30 or 40 and was never billed for it that I know of, but I'm getting 17 constantly. And I think it depends on where you are.
It definitely depends on where you are.
When I first got DSL, I was told that the further away you get from the source, the worse.
Yeah. Yep.
Problems might be.
But we also have area problems like what we were describing, John, earlier, where you may be in an area where you don't get fiber optics unless one of your neighbors is giving it up, because they're not installing more fiber optic switches.
No, they're, trust me, they're giving it up. You told me how.
But yeah, so like I've had experiences with folks in the Bahia that lost their fiber connection because they had given up the internet over the summer, and when they came back, they couldn't get that fiber link because their neighbor purchased it. It reminds me of when I first got here. Here, I'll take a little more of that. The telephones, when I first got here 20 years ago, you'd continue to pay for your phone line all year round. If you turned it off and you came back next year, there wouldn't be a number for you.
That still happens in Loma Del Mar. It's not a thing of the past.
Loma Del Mar is stepping back in time.
We've never stepped out of that time.
If you pay for a whole year, they'll shut off your phone during the summertime anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
It's not...
Yes, they do.
Well, there's some truth in every one of these.
That's right.
Maggie, think of how many times you've paid throughout the years to come to find you have no phone when you get back. And it is a problem.
That's right.
Because you're not here. Nobody's checking on your phone line. A storm comes through and knocks out your phone. And it's the end result is the same. You have no phone.
It's turning me off. That's Mother Nature.
Well, I hope.
When they're reported.
But it's definitely a Bob perspective versus a Maggie perspective. Because in the end, it's the same user experience. There's no phone when you show up at your
house.
That's right.
That's right.
Except this year, after that really horrible storm, it worked.
Yeah. Luck of the draw.
It could be a storm.
One way that I'm hoping I might have solved that problem was to get my neighbor to pay the bill monthly and check my service every once in a while to make sure that it's still happening. Leave it on all summer.
In many, many years, I've never had this problem, but even in the summer, coming back, it always works.
Yeah, I feel like it always works at my house, except for technically when it doesn't work. When somebody hasn't checked the phone line and a storm has gone through, the wind is blowing around, somebody has to be there to report it as a problem. And that's the same thing with your internet speeds. You have to report them. You have to bug them about it.
Whenever it's supposed to work, it doesn't work, but then it's supposed to work.
Right. It's supposed to work.
It's guaranteed. Much more slowly.
You have to report it.
It's a Mexican guarantee.
And you'll find when you're dealing with the phone company that if you go to them and go, hey, this has sucked for 3 months, I haven't had good service, well, they'll give you 30 days back, but they're not going to give you the other 2 months. You should have been here 2 months ago telling them that this is messed up.
I called and got an English-speaking gal, and they never gave me even 1 month.
Yeah,
and it was off for 4 months.
Okay.
Because our maid said she thought we had turned it off. And I said, no. We told her that it was always on so she could use the phone.
So I imagine if you'd gone into the office and talked to the girl behind the counter and said, for the last 30 days, I've had no phone. They would take it off your bill.
I did that.
And
she said, you have to call Mexico and talk with somebody that speaks English.
Did you?
Well, you did that.
I did that.
And they would have given you a report number.
They did.
And it would be on your bill.
Right.
And it would be on their account in the office.
And I watched, and they never took it off.
Well, call them back. You've got the report.
Yeah.
How many times do you call them back?
Six.
Until they do it.
Yeah. Until they do it is the right answer. Absolutely. Until they do it is the right answer.
Kind of like the biblical, how many times do you forgive?
I guess the point I'm trying to make is don't sit around thinking it's being fixed because it's not. They need to know. And when you report and somebody else reports and somebody else reports in that area, the more reports, the more likely it's going to get fixed if it's an area problem. But if
they have your number. You call so many times that they might just ignore you.
They do. They block you.
Well, you know what does happen is if there's a report in under your number, then they'll just forward you. They'll forward you. They'll say, this has already been reported. They'll say this in Spanish in a recording. This problem has already been reported for your area. Please check back in the next couple of days if it's not resolved.
Are you talking about the 800 number?
Because
if there's anything wrong, you call down to this office, they take the phone off.
That's right.
Or they don't answer it.
No, they take it off.
Yeah.
Or you can just walk in the door and then they have to talk to you.
But you have the 800, the 123-2222 you can call, or if your phone's working, you can call 050, and that'll get you to a report for your telephone lines. Did you want to add to that, Ed?
I have a computer.
You have a computer?
And you plug it in, and when you start using the battery, it doesn't show that it's charging. You got to shut the computer completely off and actually physically push the off button even after you've done it through the power switch.
That's what I do.
Then it'll start charging again. But as soon as you lift up the lid, it doesn't show the little cord hooked up to your battery.
You take the battery out, the computer continues to run?
I've never tried that.
I definitely take it out and see if the computer continues to run. My first inclination would be to think that it's a bad battery.
Well, it holds a charge. It'll run. You can charge it 100%, and then you can run it but it won't charge while it's.
Well, part of what a battery is a little basic computer that feeds the data to the computer, saying what's going on with the battery condition. And if that's broken, then it doesn't matter how well it charges the battery, it's not giving the computer the right messages. And so my first thinking would be that it's a bad battery, hopefully, because that can easily be replaced. If it's a bad charging circuit, that's a much greater repair than changing out a battery. That's changing a motherboard most times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old is the computer?
Probably as old as me. I don't know.
Well, just take the battery out and plug it in. If it works plugged in, then it's probably the battery.
It's probably the battery, yeah, if it works plugged
Scott,
in.
On this thing, one time, it would not shut off. I held down buttons. I stepped on it, everything. Would not shut off.
Okay.
No, I held it for 30 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, mine does that. My Kindle does
that. I let the battery run all the way down.
Yeah. You don't want to do
that. I charged it up.
Yeah.
Came right back on.
All right. You want to avoid letting your battery run completely to zero as much as possible. With these batteries...
But it can't turn it off. I mean, it would not...
I think I would have gotten a hold of their tech support. And they didn't have a solution except for that?
No, their solution was to send it back in. I said, well, I'm in Mexico. Where's your office? They said, in the States.
Yeah. So I would take that advice to heart. If you can't shut it off...
Oh, yeah. I only did that one time. Never done it again.
So now you're able to hold it and do the hard shut off, and that works just fine? That's weird. But to me, that would sound like a hardware problem. It would be worth sending to the... If it's under warranty, definitely send it under, I mean, if it's within the first year that you own it, that's a manufacturer problem, and you should take advantage of sending it back and getting at least a replacement or a refurbished one that doesn't have that problem.
Yeah, my Kindle does that all the time. I can't, you just turn it off and you set it down and it turns back on. You hit the off, it turns back on.
Okay, but what John's referring to is holding the power button until it does a forced shutdown.
I can do that. That's the only way I can get it to
shut that off. That forced shutdown should function on all these devices.
So it wouldn't do it on this. It would not shut down.
Yeah, and that would make me... I just recently, and I haven't reported it yet, but I'm going to. I got a bulk of 10 USB drives that are like 16 gigs each. I'm trying to replace all these DVDs I use for repairing computers with USB drives because it'd be much more convenient. And I had 10 of them. I was doing a backup of some settings from a Linux computer, and I didn't pay any attention to the size of the backup, and it started putting the data on this USB drive, and I think I overwhelmed it with data, which you shouldn't be able to do to a device, and now you can't read the drives. And I can't put new partition on it, I can't format there. It's like the storage doesn't exist. It's like the hardware exists, but there's no storage. It's like it sees the USB interface, but it doesn't see where that data is supposed to be.
Is the space available?
No, it's not available. It's not available for partitioning. It's not, and one of them, the space is available to be set up as a drive, like to partition and format it. And I do that, and then I unplug it, plug it back in. It has disappeared. Space is available again. All my work is gone. Right? The other seven drives work fine, I think, because I have not put them through the same paces I put those other three drives, because I figured, why kill 10 of them? But in the end, that's a manufacturer problem. That should not, I should not have been able to copy too much data to them. No number of hoop jumping going through should have caused that problem. It's a manufacturer problem.
Talking about that, does anybody ever order anything or do classified? Yeah. And you might go through 10 questions and two of them show up red and they say that this isn't your proper email or something like that.
Address.
And you look at it and it's correct. And then all of a sudden another space shows up that's red and you're supposed to correct that and that's correct. What do you do in a case like that? I mean, yesterday I made a reservation in Hermosillo and I had the same problem. And I've ordered stuff too. Do you have to reboot or turn it off?
The first thing I would do is try a different browser. Like if you're using Internet Explorer, try Firefox or Chrome. Just try a different browser. Make sure it's not a browser problem first off. Now, I just had this problem. I was using my Amazon account to order a part for a customer using their payment method. It was the first time I was putting their payment method into my Amazon account. It was a U.S. payment method, and it allowed me to put their credit card details in. And then I had to put their billing address in. And I started to put in the billing address, and no matter what I did, I got red boxes, even though it was correct, and it was all based on the zip code. And it's because it wasn't a Mexican zip code. I'm putting in American billing address for an American payment method, and the Mexican website would not take it. And so I opened up another browser. I went over to Amazon on the U.S. side of things. I put in the billing address as a shipping address on my American side of things. And then I went back to the browser I was having trouble with. I refreshed, and I selected the shipping address as the billing address, and it went through just fine.
The key was you refreshed, right?
After I got it in as a shipping address, because that's one of the things I noticed when it was asking me for the billing address, it said you can choose a shipping address as the billing address. And I didn't have that address in my address book, so I went over to the U.S. side of things and added it to my address book, refreshed the page, put the credit card number back in, and chose the shipping address I had just added from the U.S. side, and everything went through without a hitch. But it wouldn't let me fill it out on the Mexican side, because the web page was checking the zip code that I was putting in, and it saw it as not being a Mexican zip code, and so it was giving me an error. Yeah, Linda.
I was trying to get on Citibank, and I couldn't get on. You know how it stores your username, and then you can just click on it usually, and your password will go in. It would not work. It would not work. I finally called them, and the guy said, I have to take everything completely out and put it in every time now. They've got something in there that's going to stop you from being able to automatically put it in.
That's not a good way to do it anyway, is to still remember, to be remembered when you come back to your bank.
Well, so he just told me to erase everything, and that's what I did, and then I put it back in. He said, you're probably going to have to do that now every time. They're just putting in stuff that you, security stuff.
I think that's what it is.
That's really what it is.
To remember your password, and you just have to close it all out and clean it off.
I see no end in sight for the security authorization stuff. It's only gotten worse. Everything they do is to try and prevent automating hacking.
Right.
Right? And so all it does is get more and more frustrating. You wait. Pretty soon we're going to have blood tests that are going to be attached to our...
fingerprints and eye scan.
That's right. Retina scan and a blood test, and it'll be built right into your laptop.
That's happening with Amazon.
What's that?
That's probably what's happening with the Amazon, because they have your stuff stored in there, and now you've tried to change it.
For convenience.
Without wiping it all out, you need to wipe it all out, and then...
Yeah, Amazon's made so many acquisitions recently. For our convenience, they will probably acquire the genome company. What is that? 26andMe, I think that's called.
Yeah.
23andMe. So then they'll just naturally have all your genetic makeup. They'll not only be able to see who purchased, but they'll be able to see like when your grandkids go and purchase stuff.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about that for a while.
Yeah, really. I got a question. Didn't I read something about the thing that they did with the internet where they now made it so that everybody can use, or all your providers can use all your information? Aren't they trying to back up and get that out of that? Didn't I read something about that?
It's not triggering anything in my synopsis.
Is 23andMe is what triggered it.
No.
I have a son who contracts with the U.S. government, and he made the mistake of checking our family history on 23andMe. And there were tremendous repercussions, visits.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't affect his security clearance, but it almost did. And yes, that information is shared. That's what he was told. He said, be very careful on that. Yeah.
I don't want to find out if I'm a serial killer.
You know, at the latest CES, they had one of these genome companies with a booth at the entrance giving free genetic makeup tests. And they had cotton swabs, and as people were walking into the Consumer Electronics Show, hey, would you like a free genetic test? Hey, just collecting people's identification information.
But the authorities have been using it and have caught criminals with this database.
Well, and isn't that what caught was it the Zodiac killer that was just recently caught?
Jack the Ripper.
Not Jack the Ripper.
Yes, no, yes, they just,
yeah,
they just,
yeah,
no, they just,
they did Jack the Ripper,
yes,
too?
Jack the Ripper yesterday.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper was done with.
Oh my gosh, I should go back and forth on this stuff. That's amazing that they would figure out Jack the Ripper at this day and age.
130 years ago.
Wow.
They think.
What are they going to do to him?
Wow.
He denies it, though.
Yeah.
He denies it. It wasn't me.
Wasn't my brother.
No
Can I help? Yep.
It could have been Jane the Ripper. Who knows?
Sorry about that,
Judy. That's all right.
Scott?
Yeah.
Retina checks. Retina checks. That was 40 years.
Say that again?
Retina.
Retina checks. Retina. Yeah, okay. Retina.
Security.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that supposed to be about as good as you can get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm definitely not an expert in that area, but I do know that they had Retina on the Samsung S9, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think they had done so. But what's funny is that some of this stuff is used for marketing. I mentioned last week the S10 has a laughable facial recognition system. You guys remember I was telling you that somebody's sister was able to get into their brother's phone with their face, right? They were able to spoof it with pictures of people or with a YouTube video of somebody. They were able to unlock a phone. So it's really as secure as the implementation. You know, the password is an insanely secure thing. We just implement it wrong all the time.
Using the last four of your social security number, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah, using your wife's birthday isn't a very smart, isn't a very secure way to do it. Putting it on a yellow stick-it right next to the device, that's not very secure either.
Bring a notebook, send my passwords.
Got my health. No, you got to put it on the back of your phone.
Yeah, put it on the back of your phone. That's great.
Or in the
indelible link.
Well, since I adopted the LastPass, I have just loved it more and more and more. I think that app has really got something going for it.
What is that?
LastPass. I just can't believe how many times now I found myself in an impromptu situation, and I need a password that I would have to go back to something, or I'd have to do a reset, and then I remember, oh, wait, it's in LastPass. And I authorize LastPass, and I bring it up on my phone, just like that black book of passwords you might have.
So that's a storage type
thing. Oh, yeah, well, it's your... I like to think of it as your black book of passwords, encrypted and stored in the cloud.
So, is the possibility of that being hacked?
Say that again?
Possibility of hacking on that?
Yes.
Well,
see, that's
the possibility of hacking is minuscule. Now, I'm not the right person to vet it, but the right people have vetted it, and I trust their opinion of it. And for a system where your passwords are available to you anywhere on the internet and have been stored securely even from the company storing them, then I think it's that secure. I think it's more secure than the black book that you might forget at a cafe internet or might get lost in your house.
And you pay for that monthly? Or?
Well, you can. It has a premium service. I haven't had to use it yet. I think, though, one of the premium service features is that next of kin option that I've mentioned before, where you can assign somebody as being the recipient of your passwords if something happens to you. And I think as I get older, that's going to be a feature I'm going to want to buy, because I don't want to leave my wife in a lurch. If all of a sudden I pass away, she's going to need to get access to my stuff.
Then you make her a little black book and give it to her.
Well, that's essentially what this is. And what you do is you assign an email address to be your next of kin, and then they can approach LastPass and go, you know what, they passed away, or they're in the hospital, and you've assigned a time period in which you're supposed to reply to their correspondence. They LastPass goes, hey, somebody, your next of kin's trying to get into your stuff.
Hey, you're dead.
Right, and if you don't reply within a certain amount of time, then they give access to your next of kin.
You know, I've been recently thinking
they get something
that.
Saying I can't reply,
and
I'm dead.
And I've concluded that what I plan to do is print it out and put it with my will.
Right.
So somebody's going to read the will, and it's going
to
be...
I'd be happy to help you with that.
I'd be happy to do your will for you. You know?
Got some volunteers right now. Mm-hmm.
I just found out on Facebook too. There's if you look way into Facebook, they have a place where you can assign your Facebook account.
Oh, your next of kin Facebook.
Kind of,
that's
yeah.
Interesting. We should keep an eye on what Apple does, because there's so much virtual goods that you own, but you don't own because of licensing agreements. you don't actually own your music collection that you bought. And who does that go to when you pass away? It goes to the person that has your password and nobody telling Google or telling Apple that you died.
It all so goes to Tim Apple.
It goes to Tim Apple. Did you see what he did after that whole experience? His idea of riffing off of the president was to change his Twitter to Apple. Tim and the ANSI graphic for the Apple logo, which is really nerdy because you can't see that on an Android device. You have to have an Apple device to see that correctly. All these other services just see these like hieroglyphics.
But don't you think that's smart of him? That's saying
Apple
is special.
Well, it's not only saying Apple's special, it's saying I'm so much smarter than our president. Right? It's also saying I've got a much better sense of humor than our president does.
No, we're not going to
He doesn't know that, though. Used to be in the old days, you hit a control G in your password. And a control G on the old teletype is a bell.
Is a bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ringing the bell.
So you had to add the bell to your password.
And it's a blind thing. It does not show up.
Right. You can't print it out.
Right.
If you were to print out the password, you'd have this little space in the password, and you'd make an indication go, ANSI bell.
Yeah, it used to work great.
What other other subjects do you have?
What other subjects do I have? Well, I guess I didn't say, obviously Yuya's not here today. I'm sorry, it was a miscalculation on our part, but she's definitely committed to next week. So we're definitely going to have her next week. She's really sorry. But at the last minute, we realized that we had this thing happening at my kid's school, and one of us has to be there, and I have to be here, so it's got to be her.
What you going to talk about?
Immigration stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, your immigration status and the senior discount cards and things of that nature. But she says definitely we'll be ready for next week.
Is she going to have the applications for the senior discount cards?
That's what
I can ask her to bring them.
Yeah, maybe we can do them here. And she can turn them in.
No.
You have to have a picture taken there.
Why can't you turn them in yourself?
Yeah.
You have to have all your proof.
Hey, she, you know, that's what people hire her to do. So if you guys
you have to have all your proof to show them, or at least I didn't when I got
mine. Take every paper you ever thought you'd ever need anyhow.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Sure. It's easy.
It's very easy.
I don't know if they still use a typewriter. That was took a long time.
That's the reason she's been able to make a business out of it is because it's so easy. I was being facetious. There's nothing easy about working with the Mexican government.
Scott, I have a question for you. Speaking of Mexican government,
I'm the wrong person to answer it, but go ahead.
The computers they use at the border crossings and all that.
Yeah.
You know, where you go in, you pay your 250 pesos.
Okay.
6 months visa.
Okay.
Are those things linked? I don't think they're linked.
Oh, yeah. They're absolutely linked now.
To a database now?
Yeah. They didn't used to be back in the day. We definitely were on top of it before Mexico was, but they're state of the art. I think it's dumb to assume that the red lights are random. I think that they can at any moment pull you over. They can give you a red light, and it can be based on say again?
They are scanning the cars.
Right.
Of course.
They've got x-ray machines, they've
That's
got cameras
you don't
checking.
Speak in your car when you're driving up to the border.
That's for sure.
I think
you don't say anything.
Also. I think there's a weight device in there.
A what device?
A weight.
Oh, a weight device? Well, the way I approach these questions about the border is are these kinds of technologies available in the consumer market? Because they are. I mean, we have high-definition cameras that can do 800x zoom that you can buy at Radio. Well, the equivalent of Radio Shack. Radio Shack doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. We have telescoping microscopes or microphones that use laser beams. There's no reason to think that a border wouldn't put this stuff in place. I mean, they can get full facial recognition off of you while you're sitting in your car. You can, they can listen to the conversations in your car. We have to make that assumption because you could be doing it. So why wouldn't the government do it?
Exactly.
They don't have the think police yet.
How do you know that?
Yeah, that's a questionable thing to... Think police.
I have a question.
You do?
I do. What system do you use in Alaska when you're here to monitor your property up there?
My relatives.
Oh, you don't have some.
Yeah, my relatives stop by every other day and check the property for us. Yeah.
Ring?
No, I don't have anything like that.
Is that what you have?
That's what we're setting up.
Yeah.
Ask Eric.
I use Ring for the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah.
I have Mexico when I'm in the States. But
how about the other way?
In the States.
Yeah.
I have a trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you look at Ring?
Ring is really nice. And they've committed to not having a monthly service fee. If you're not worried about storing video, then you can use their equipment without committing to a service.
I think Panasonic sells do-it-yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do I have to have a phone line?
You do have to have internet to take advantage of that stuff.
Well, internet might be one thing, but I'd love to get rid of my phone.
Here's one.
Well, you don't have to answer the phone.
I don't.
K-Moon.
What is it?
K-Moon. Has there been any changes in DirecTV?
Yeah, but you have to have the internet.
Oh, I haven't heard anything specific about DirecTV recently.
I've heard that they extended the standard broadcast for another year.
Oh, really?
I heard that from a friend.
Oh.
I hope so, because a lot of people will be hurt.
Hey, I did want to bring up Judy's topic from last week. There was a question about how do you get to use Google instead of Siri on your Apple device. And last week I had talked about how you are able to set it up so that you ask Siri for Google, which is painful.
It is.
And what Judy was talking about that I didn't understand until she sent me the link is that they've changed the iDevices operating system with audio shortcuts. And these are shortcuts that you can record. You can tell your device in one word or two words to do very specific tasks. You could say, call Yuya, and it would immediately start the phone call to Yuya. It wouldn't have to start with, hey Siri. It could be, hey Yuya, or call Yuya. But what this has is the advantage of you being able to make an audio shortcut, hey Google, and immediately having it start the Google app.
The Google Assistant.
The Google Assistant.
If that's what. But the thing is that once you start it, you have to actually push the microphone button.
Oh, after that, you still have to push the microphone button.
So far, I haven't figured out how not to yet.
You know, do you have it set? Well, you do, because I watched it. You have it set for audio to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's not an Apple thing. It's a Google thing.
And there's a little microphone that you have to push, which doesn't make it real great.
Well, we need to double-check that in Google settings.
With Siri, I was wanting to push the button, and she said, you don't have to push the button anymore. She just say, wake. And it's all vocal.
So Bob, you're ready to be freaked out, right? Because that means that it's listening to you 24/7.
All the time.
That's right.
That's what it means.
Yes.
So yeah, you have to accept that as being okay.
No more pictures.
Not only does it have to be listening to you all the time, but it probably has to be connected to the internet all the time so that it can understand those words and translate them into because that processing is not happening on our end. It's happening out in the cloud.
Batteries on all the time.
Well, anyway, I wanted to mention that to anybody that's using the iDevices, iPhones, iPads, that is a legitimate way to replace Siri with Google, and Google has proven to be a much better audio assistant than Siri has so far.
Really?
Google understands almost everything I say. Siri rarely understands.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and there's just so many more options with Google too. You can ask it for speed tests. You can ask it for exchange rates. Anything you can imagine. It's ready for, and Siri's more ready for this dozen things that we do. And then, what did you? I didn't get that. What are you saying?
I don't have any problems with that.
I think the nemesis is the personal privacy that Apple is selling. Mm-hmm. Requires them to collect less data, and so their algorithms are less accurate. And so they can't deal with every situation the way Google can, because Google knows absolutely everything about you.
Is it worth the trade-off, as opposed to a few finger motions, to have it know everything about you? It already does know, so I might as well use it.
It's gathering the information anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Ray, I think it goes back to what I keep saying, is we need to regulate what happens to our data, because it's already out there.
That's what I was asking about. I thought they unregulated the people collecting your data. Somewhere I thought I read that they were trying to put the cat back in the bag.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. The problem is we've never had regulated data. The problem is that it's always been up for grabs.
And they unregulated the internet.
They unregulated the net neutrality stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not the personal privacy stuff.
Okay, but I understand now they're trying to put the cat back in the bag with the net neutrality stuff.
I don't have anything recent on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we done already? It's early.
I have a phone number, and Jim has a website or something, an email.
It's the last minute.
There's a phone number and a web address.
You have a phone?
Oh, you got it.
Okay. They do by location.
Oh yeah. It comes right up.
Okay.
The Maggie's is from 2013 from Japan, and the one that you can do on your computer is from 2018.
Probably closer.
Wait. Hold on. We're in 2019.
Yeah. Mexico.
Oh, hey. Next week, Apple's having a special event.
Did you need my email?
If you guys haven't noticed, this is very unusual. They have announced all their new hardware already.
Great.
So we already know there's going to be new iMacs. We already know there's going to be new iPads. They've taken the last 2 weeks to announce all their new hardware and software. So that means this special event happening on the 25th is going to be all about services. It may look more like an HBO event or a Microsoft event, because what they're going to be pushing is whatever their new music, TV, movie services are. There's a lot of rumors going around on that stuff. One of the things that people, Apple fanatics, are hoping for is that they will release a TV service for free to people that buy their Macintosh, their Apple TV devices.
Paying free.
Yeah, well, especially when that device is like three times, four times the price of a device that would do the same thing.
Hey, speaking of Apple, do you work on Apple?
Sure.
I have an iPad. First gen.
Okay.
Needs a screen. Do you do it?
I could do it, but I would tell you not to, because their software is completely out of date for the first gen. I think your money would be better spent putting it towards another. I mean, it's sad that that's the case, but that's the case. There is no up-to-date software for that generation of iPad. So, like, I might do it for myself, but I wouldn't recommend it for a customer, because of the expense, the part, the labor, it's just not worth it.
Does you have a phone number?
Well, you can call the office, 226-0209.
226-0209. Okay. 0209.
Okay. Yep.
Because I wanted to make a point, and she hasn't responded in 3 or 4 days.
Okay. You can also write her email, yuya@internationalcs.com. Y-U-Y-A
Y-A
at international C-S dot net.
C-S
dot net. Yep.
Okay.
Scott, sometime I'd like to hear you talk about Bitcoin again.
Ah, okay.
Is it still live?
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's Bitcoin stuff happening regularly.
Yeah, that's tough stuff.
Well, we're still a little early, but I think people are getting out of here to go to the meeting.
Yeah,
right? We want to see what the San Carlos Foundation's all about. I might be following you guys over there. So that's the reason for a short meeting here. Is that we're all heading over to the San Carlos Foundation meeting happening at JGA's Tacos. We'll meet everybody over there. This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Tequila's every Tuesday. We'll see you next week, 9:15 to 10:15-ish. There's Esmeralda cleaning up after us. Thank you, Esmeralda. They give us such great service here and good Wi-Fi. We're always really happy to have this space each week. If you have computer issues, I'd appreciate it. No matter where you are in the world, get a hold of me at internationalcs.net. Scott at internationalcs.net, or you can call my office. Country code 52, area code 622, office is 226-0209. If you're interested in any of these recordings or even our podcast, you can check out our website at sccclub.org, like it says there right at the top of the screen. You can also look for us wherever you look for podcasts. Just search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Until next week, keep calm and tech on. I'll see you next week.
Did you find an address?
Sorry?
Did you get an address for stopping the calls?
Yeah. Oh, they ran off.